on the internet,
Blog
Talk Radio.
Radio.
We'll tell them welcome to our service and everywhere else that they may be finding access to our broadcast today. I'm Brother Brandon Teague. This is Faith Baptist Church, and we're coming to them live from the magnificent metropolis of Bogota, Texas. Amen. With a family dollar and a couple of gas stations. Amen. We're here in the big city. But anyway, it is good to be here, and it's good to see all of y'all, and I love you, and I'm thankful for you, and hope the Lord will bless you today. We're in part 54 of getting to know Jesus. 54. I cannot believe I've preached 54 messages on this subject, and we're no further into this than we are. Amen. There's no telling how many messages before we get through this series, but that's okay. I couldn't find a better subject to talk about if I tried for 1,000 years. Jesus is the ultimate topic to preach on, and I'm thankful to do that today. But anyway, we've been in his parables, and last week we talked about the parable of the mustard seed, and how it being the smallest seed that they planted in their herb garden, and how when that thing takes root in good soil, it jumps up there, and it's taller than the rest of them. It's so big that birds can nest and find shelter. I mean, there's a lot we learned about that last week. But we're going to move on from that one, and we're going to look at verse 33, the parable of the leaven. And we're still talking about the kingdom of heaven. What God is doing. God's working in man's life. That's what we're talking about. What God is doing in man's life. Okay? And Christ is using parables. Again, he's using an earthly story, a story about earthly things to convey or to teach a heavenly message. And so that's what he's doing here in these parables, and that's what he's doing here this morning in verse 33. Again, I don't know how long this message will be. It's one verse of Scripture. Like I said, one verse, that don't mean a whole lot. We can go a lot of places with one verse. But anyway, we'll look there in verse 33. You ready? The Bible says, "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." And I'll go ahead and read down through verse 35. "And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might," and here's why he did it, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables." Okay? "I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Okay? So Jesus is teaching things that have been kept secret since God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. These are things that have not been known down through history. You say, well, how did they not get known? God had people all down through history. God had given them pictures. He'd given them things called types. He'd given those things called foreshadowings, but he had never spoken the things that Christ was speaking to them. They had never fully understood God's plan. God's plan has been revealed. The Old Testament prophets, as much as they prophesied, they never saw the church. That was something they never saw, and they didn't understand that. Everything was about Israel. Well, now Christ is beginning to talk about how God works in the life of his children, and his children will make up his church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build what? My church. He's addressing those who will make up his church, and he's teaching them about how things will be. And nobody ever knew all these things before. So we're getting a view into these things that, again, are being revealed for the first time. And he's speaking in parables. Why? Because, number one, because it was prophesied that he would. And number two, because the Pharisees couldn't, he was wanting to talk over their heads. Instead of contending, instead of fighting with them, he just talked over their heads where they couldn't understand what he was saying. Amen. That's what he done. Praise God. I mean, that's the way Jesus, his way he handled it. He talked, and they thought, what is he talking about? What does that mean? Huh? What did he say? Leaven?
I can't
Making biscuits? What's he talking about? I mean, it didn't make a lot of sense to him. He's making bread over there. We thought he was going to teach something today about God. Instead, he's talking about making bread. See, that's why Jesus cried out so many times. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. There's no telling. I've got friends who go and they go out to large concert venues when there's big concerts going on. They stand outside the gates of it and they preach. And they preach, repent, turn to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go on in this wickedness. Don't follow after this world and its system and its ways. Turn to Christ before it's too late. And people in mass just walk by, just rivers of people walk by. And some who claim to be believers say, y'all are doing this wrong. You're turning people away. See, they don't even understand that God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they look at it as, you should take that back to the church house and shut the doors, and you and the rest of the Christians sit in there and enjoy it to yourself. Don't bring that out here in the world where it offends people. See, and Christ's words offend people because it cuts to the core. It teaches them that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All must pay a penalty for their sin or have their penalty paid by Christ. People don't want to hear that. And these Pharisees didn't want to hear that. So Jesus just talked in a language that they couldn't get. Because they weren't seeking it. If you're not looking for Christ, you won't hear it. But if you're seeking him, you'll get the message. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's ask God to bless us and open our understanding today. Father in heaven, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for this moment, Lord, that you've given me to preach. Father, I don't take it for granted. I'm very thankful, Lord, for this morning. I'm thankful for this opportunity to come to this pulpit again today and to preach the Word of God. And, Father, I pray, Lord, for each and every ear that listens this morning. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would guide these words down into the heart of each one, Lord, and may it, Lord, have its desired purpose and effect in our lives. Father, I pray for the saint as well as the sinner. And I pray, Lord, that you do a work in both. Father God, I pray that you'd help us to understand your kingdom a little bit better, Lord, as we read the words of Jesus and we talk about the things that he said. And Lord, I pray you'd give me clear words to be spoken, Lord, that it might be easy to be understood today. Holy Ghost of God, you be our interpreter and you be our illustrator and you be our teacher and open our understanding that we might hear and understand. Father, I pray you do a work in our lives today. Lord, please convict our hearts of sin. Lord God, please draw us back to you, close to you, Father. Lord, close to Christ, walk in his ways, to know him, Lord, not just to hear about him, but to know. Lord, not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Father God, I pray that, Lord, we take accountability for our own salvation today. As your word tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Lord, we're not to just let it sit and fester, Lord. We're not just let it sit and get stale. We're to work, Lord. We're to work at it, Lord. We're to get to know you, and we're to be participants in our salvation, not to let things grow over with moss, Lord, but, Lord, to be tending the weeds in our Christian life. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Please bless now. Give me the word to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get into this parable he taught on the leaven. He said the kingdom of heaven, so he's comparing the work of God. Now, when it says the kingdom of heaven, we're not talking about sitting up in heaven right now, God's kingdom. We're talking about God's ever-growing kingdom. The kingdom of God covers so much more than just heaven up sitting up in up above the clouds and above the sky. It's more than that. He's talking about his work that's going on right now here on earth and how it takes place, okay? So that's what he's talking about. So when he says the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, okay? And what do we know about leaven? Leaven, yeast. That's what we're talking about, yeast, making bread. And when somebody makes bread, and I ain't made a whole lot of bread, I'll be honest with you, I'm not much of a bread baker. I'm not much of a bread eater. But when you're making bread, I know one thing, it ain't going to rise unless you put some yeast in it, okay? And what you do, you mix that yeast in, you get it in some warm water, I believe, and you add it to the dough and all that, add it to the flour and everything, and you work it in there, and you let it set. Okay, you leave it alone. And you leave it alone and go away and do something. You put it in a warm place. And you come back a little bit later. And that little old wad of dough you had now all of a sudden is a swole up bunch of dough. And you punch it back down and set it back again. And sure enough, it'll rise up again. And, I mean, that's what you want to happen when you're making bread. But and so God is using that to teach us about how the gospel works in our life and how the gospel works in this world. Now, let me just say this real quick. Oftentimes when you read about leaven in the Bible, it has a negative meaning. Because leaven, most of the time, is a picture of sin. That's not what it is, and that's not how it's used here. This is the one time in the Bible that I know of that leaven has a good connotation. But most of the time, leaven or yeast has a bad connotation. Again, we can look at our nation. I was thinking about this yesterday before we get into the message and the meaning of the message. I was thinking about our nation and how our nation was founded by, and they weren't perfect. None of the men who came to this country were perfect. But I can tell you this, their attitudes were a whole lot better than the attitudes of men today. The attitudes of the women who came to this country had a whole lot better attitudes than the women of the country today. The children that came over on those boats, they had more character than most grown men do today. These were people who had nothing, and they risked everything. And they came to this nation and started over, and most of them died. But they came with a purpose because they wanted a place where they wouldn't be told how to worship God. They wanted to worship God according to this Bible. That's what drove them here. It wasn't just the taxes. It was religious freedom they sought. And so they came to this country. And many of our forefathers, I'm saying many of the Baptist forefathers that we had, I mean, they struggled mightily when they came to this country. They came to this country expecting to find religious freedom. But what they found was that some of the knotheads that was giving them so much grief over in England and other places where they were, listen, they came over with them and they brought their junk over here and they made it hard for them even here in the New World. And down through history, they struggled and struggled. But I'm going to tell you something. They stayed at it because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they knew that the gospel had to be preached. And no matter if it cost them their lives, no matter if it cost them their fortune, cost them everything, it didn't matter. They came because they wanted to see God's word go forth in power. Many of the Indian tribes were won to the Lord Jesus Christ because of men with a burden to see people saved. Many of the slaves that were brought over to this country were saved because people said, you know what, I can't let them just die and go to hell. So they preached to them, and they got saved, and many of them became great preachers because of it. This country began to thrive, and as I talked about last week about Schubel Stearns coming down out of Connecticut, coming down into North Carolina and establishing Sandy Creek Baptist Church in Liberty, North Carolina, and it became, that right there became the seedbed for the entire Bible Belt swept across the South, where we're at today, because of that. In this country, they began to build places of education to educate men, to go out into the ministry. And I'll give you an example. Brown University, one of the Ivy League schools, Oberlin College, those are two Baptist universities. Today, they want all scripture references taken off of it. They don't want anything referring to God in those colleges. They were started to train people to go out to preach the gospel. Listen, what happened? How'd they get from that to where they are now, which is godless? Well, it didn't happen all at once. A little bit of bad, negative thought against God got in there, and it began to work and work and work, and it swelled and swelled and swelled, just like leaven. It swelled into the point to where it was full of the leaven of unbelief. What happens in America? I got to looking back through history. I started back in the 19-teens, and you know, I started looking decade by decade at how this country changed. And in the teens, things were, they were ballroom dancing, and I read one line where it said that most nice restaurants had ballroom floors where people could dance, and so there was a lot of dancing and whatnot going on. And then it got into the 20s and the roaring 20s, and it was, I mean, you talk, I mean, Prohibition was going on, and there were speakeasies open everywhere, and people was dancing and acting, I mean, and fooling around, doing everything. The 20s was a wicked, wicked time. And what happened? Boom, the 30s, the Great Depression. God brought judgment on America. The 30s was God's judgment on this country for growing wicked. And then we got in a world war. And when the world war was over, it was like America became, hey, we turned back to God. And people began to seek, I want to go to church. And churches began to be built. And people were flooding into churches. And I know everything wasn't perfect, but it was a whole lot better world than what we're living in right now. It was as though America once again wanted to get right with God. And then things began to get prosperous in the 50s and into the 60s. And America began to forget God again. Why? Because sin began to fester in the schools. And then they took prayer out. And then they made killing babies in the womb legal. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And we're to the point now to where there's so much leaven of sin everywhere that you can't go anywhere without sin. It's swelling everywhere and busting at the seams. And we're due for the judgment of God again. And that's not what I come to preach about this morning. But I just want to say, that's how leaven works. It grows slowly. So let's get back to our text, and I'll try to get this preached, and we'll try to get out of here at a reasonable time. Number one, I want to say to you that first thing we see that this woman took the leaven. Okay? It was her work. That's what she was doing. Just like a woman getting up to feed her family, she got up and she took the leaven. She took 3 measures of meal, all right? But she took the leaven. And again, like I said, it was her work. And understand something. Here we're talking about the leaven being the Word of God, the gospel message. And we're not talking about it being sin. Here it pictures the gospel, the preaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this was this woman's work. Can I tell you who else's work it is? It's our work. It's our work to do what her work was picturing doing. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So that is the preaching of the gospel. So this woman was doing what we are all to do. She was taking the leaven or taking the gospel message, putting it in to the meal. And now we're going to look at this. So the gospel works just like leaven when it gets into somebody's heart. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, oh, and by the way, let me just say this too. When we preach the gospel, what are we doing? We're creating something in somebody else. It's not us, but God's doing it through us. So when the gospel goes out, say, I preach the gospel, and Megan hears the gospel, okay? She's just like a bunch of meal over there, but once the gospel gets into her, it begins to work, right? Okay, so when you're doing that, when you're sharing the gospel with somebody else, what are you doing? It's like you're putting that leaven in there, the leaven of the gospel in them, and you go to somebody else and talk to them about Christ, and what are you doing? You're putting the leaven of the gospel in them. Amen. You don't know how well it's going to work and how soon it's going to work, but you put it there. And God said his word will not return unto him void. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? You following me? All right. Now, we can say this. The Bible tells us that the woman is the weaker vessel, and we're all weak vessels because the Bible tells us that. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earth. And what treasure are we referring to there? We're talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're carrying it around in these earthly bodies, these earthen vessels. Okay? So this woman, she took the leaven, okay? And her weaker vessel, and she put the leaven into the meal. So let's talk about the meal for a second. The leaven was hid in 3 measures of meal. I was going to read up and see how much meal that was, but I think it's kind of irrelevant at this point. But I think it's neat that it's 3 measures. Amen. I always like to see a 3 because it represents so many different things: Father, Son, Holy Ghost, body, soul, spirit. There's so many things 3 can represent when you're talking about things referring to the gospel message. But it was hid in 3 measures of meal. In other words, it was hid in a heart. We can picture the heart as being the meal, because that's what you're doing. You're taking the gospel when you're preaching the gospel, and that preaching the gospel, and it goes right into the heart of a man, not the muscle, but his inner being, right? We talk about, you broke my heart. You didn't break my physical muscle, but you broke my inner being. You break my heart. Now, so the leaven goes into the meal. The heart, now listen to me, the heart has to be soft and pliable. It's got to be workable. We talked about the seed. Y'all remember we talked about scattering the seed? You throw the seed over and it lands on the footpath. Footpath is packed and hard and compact, right? It's not soft and it's not pliable and it won't receive the seed. And we talk about it landing on the rock. That's not soft and pliable. It won't do any good there. You throw it over in the thorns and thistles, it's hard ground over there too. It's not good ground. It's choked out because all the clusters of roots and everything. But no, over in the good ground where the farmers plowed it and turned it over and hoed it out and raked it out, and all the rocks and the sticks and the hard roots and things have been pulled out of it. So it's powdery, soft ground. And that's what God calls the good ground, where the gospel is able to grow and God's able to do something in that life. And even so, the flour, the meal that you use to make bread, it has to be soft for it to do any good. Can I tell you this morning that you can take all the yeast or all the leaven you want to and take you some whole kernels of corn and mix it together, you know it ain't going to do a thing. You can't mix yeast and hard corn. It ain't going to do anything. And you know what? You can preach the gospel and preach the gospel and preach the gospel to somebody whose heart is hard and unyielding, and someone who says, I don't want God in my life. I'll not have him rule over me. Don't you try to tell me what I need to do. You can preach the gospel to them until you're blue in the face, but it's not going to do any work. If their heart's as hard as a rock or a footpath, it's only when that heart is soft and ready. You're right. And how does it get ready? Well, corn has to be ground, folks. Corn has to be ground. And we're not talking about corn like we know now, because they didn't have corn, like ears of corn like we know now. That's mutations, and that's breeding to get that corn to look like that. It hasn't always looked like that. The kind of corn they had was more like probably like wheat or spelt or barley, and it was the corns of the grains on the stalk that we're talking about. So we're talking about wheat probably, something like wheat. So those grains, they had to be ground. They had to be crushed by a grinding wheel. So what happens to prepare a heart to hear the gospel? Well, that soul's got to be humbled. That heart's got to be broken. So what happens? The Word of God is preached, and the law of God tells us that God will judge sin. That the punishment for sin is death and hell. And that God's law is unchangeable, and it says what it says, and it means what it means. And that law, the Holy Spirit takes the law of God, and it crushes us, and it grinds us, and it humbles us, and it makes us realize that we're just lost sinners before God. And it grinds us. And that dry ground meal has to be moistened. And so what happens? God allows us to mourn. God allows us to hurt. God allows us to weep over our sin. God allows us to be broken over our sin. And the tears, the pain of the tears, flow into the soft meal of our heart and moisten us, and the leaven of the gospel goes in. And what happens? It begins to do something. You see what I'm saying? The leaven has to be hid in the heart. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, thine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We hide the word in here, and the word begins to work. The word begins to grow in us. The Word begins to push out the evil of sin in our life. The Word drives us away from the things that used to cause us to not be able to come into God's presence. The Word of God begins to show us that the things that we thought were good are evil. The leaven has to be hid in the heart. Not hid because we want to keep it a secret, but hid because it has to work inside. It's just as though you take the leaven and you put it into the meal and you mix it up and you put it, I say, put it in a warm, dark place. So the Word of God gets hid down inside of us. You can't see it. You don't know it's there. Nobody else may know it's there, but I do. It's not because I'm trying to keep it from you, but God is doing something away from everybody else's attention inside of me. He's doing something inside of you. It's kind of like when the Bible tells us that when Mary and Joseph went back and found Jesus down in the temple when he was 12 years old, and after they left, the Bible said in Luke 2:51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. What did she do? She didn't talk about everything. She just kept those things that he'd said and she'd heard him say. She kept them down in her heart, and she thought about them, and it worked on her, you see, even though everybody else may not know what she was thinking about. See, the gospel's working in us. If it's in us, hey, listen, I'm talking to saved people, but the gospel's in us still. Amen? It doesn't just come and save us and then leave. I mean, the gospel's in us. We're carrying it around. We carry this treasure in earthen vessels, and it's in us, and it's constantly working in us. It's constantly growing and getting larger and getting bigger in our life. It's just like leaven. So when this woman takes and she hides the leaven in the meal, she does it with a reason. There's a reason why she puts it in there. Have y'all ever eat sourdough bread? I love sourdough bread. That's one of my favorite kinds. I'll tell you another one I like. I like that brioche bread. Have y'all ever had that? It's real sweet. It's French. I've had that. There's other kinds I like too, but I really, really like sourdough bread. And I'm not doing a commercial for Schlotzky's, but I really like their bread. but see the yeast that goes into say a piece of French bread is a different type of yeast from the yeast that goes into the sourdough bread, and that's why they produce a different type of bread. And I know there's probably a difference in the flour too. I'm not a bread baker, but I do know there's a difference. Okay, or you wouldn't ever bread be the same. So. But there's a reason why this woman adds this yeast or this leaven to the meal. Number one, she wants it to add its flavor. It's going to impart a flavor to it. That sourdough starter or leaven is going to impart that sourdough flavor to the meal, and it's also going to just add its goodness to it. I mean, it won't be like a dry, flat cracker. It's going to be like a swole piece of bread. It's going to smell so good when it's fresh. And that's what happens when the Word of God gets in us. What does it do? It begins to fill our life. Other people begin to smell the aroma. God's doing something in that life. Wow. God's doing something in her. God's doing something in that man right there. You can see that God is at work. I mean, he wasn't like that before. Now look. He's turning into a child, a servant of God. She's turning into a servant of God. So, whenever the leaven gets into the meal, it takes over the meal. It makes the meal after itself. The leaven does. Again, if it's leaven to make sourdough, it's going to take on the characteristics of the sourdough. So that's what the gospel does. We don't, and that's why we're able to come together in a church like this and fellowship and all. We all come together with the same thing, you see. We all have Christ. Amen? We have the same love. We have the same compassion. We have the same gospel. Listen, we have the same purpose. We have the same home. We have the same trials. Maybe they're not all identical, but they're all of this world. And we all have the same Savior, praise God. See, thank God, it does that. It separates us unto God and the things of God. As John 17:17, Jesus said to the Father, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God, again, the gospel message is the leaven that makes us after God. I mean, that's what brings us into the family of God. That's what makes us useful to God. That's what gives us the aroma, the flavor of God, so that the world says, I need that. Amen? Tell you right now, you take a fresh loaf of bread out of the oven and walk in amongst a crowd of people, everybody wants a piece.
That's right.
They smell it. Well, somebody breaks. Y'all ever used to drive past when it was America over there on the loop in Paris? Drive by right when they get those bacon honey buns or something, and my goodness, you never smelled something so good in your life. The way God wants us to be, full of His aroma, full of His flavor, full of His fragrance. So the leaven, once it gets hid in the dough, it works there, it ferments the dough. So the Bible tells us the word is quick and powerful. And the word quick there doesn't mean fast. It means alive. And that leaven is alive. It's a living organism. It's a bacteria, but it's a living organism. And so it eats, and as it puts off gas, it expands. And so it's like the Bible says, the word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will get in there and start meddling with what you've been thinking about. It'll say, wait a minute. Is this of God or is this not of God? Wait a minute. What are you doing? Is that of God or is that not of God? The word of God gets in there like a knife and starts slicing your life and making you say, wait a minute, I got to draw sides here. Which side am I going to get on? Wait a minute, I got to choose on this matter too. Which side am I going to get on? God's word is the dividing line. Listen, it changes you on the inside. If it's in you, listen to me, you may not be the best you've ever been. You may not feel like you're anything right now. You may be at the bottom or you may be on top. I don't know. But if you are a child of God, of course we all have ups and downs, but if you are a child of God, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've come to Him for salvation, then God is doing that work in you, or He's trying to do that work in you right now, today. He is trying to show you, you got to make some decisions for me or against me. And that's what it's supposed to do. The leaven works. It begins to work instantly. Listen, praise God. And so does the word of God. When a person gets saved, it doesn't like take years for it to begin to work. It works instantly. Now, it doesn't make a complete change instantly, but it starts working instantly. You think about Elijah and Elisha. In 1 Kings 19:20-21, when Elijah passed by there with Elisha, he went to Elisha. And the Bible says about Elisha that he left the ox and he ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee. And Elijah said unto him, well, go back again. He said, what have I done to thee? I mean, go ahead. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the ox. I mean, he took the plow. He took a plow and he broke it up into pieces. He killed the oxen they were plowing with. Boiled their flesh on the fire he made out of the plow and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In one day, he quit farming, he burned everything, boiled it, he had supper, and he took off after him. Bye, Mom and Dad, I'm off to do something for God. That's a powerful day in his life. I mean, that's a powerful effect that God's power had on Elisha, wouldn't you say? Folks, that's how the gospel is supposed to hit us. I mean, when we realize that, listen, that we were lost and we were on our way to hell, and it was only the gospel message that saved us. It's changed us. We can't go back. We're not going to ever go back. Listen, there are people out there who don't know the gospel message, who are dying in their sins and on their way to hell, and we must tell them, we must warn them, we must let them know that they can have salvation through Christ and miss out on hell forever and have heaven forever. Listen, and be in God's presence forever. We must tell them immediately. That begins to work on us. We begin to look around and say, my friend's lost, my cousin's lost, my mama's lost, my daddy's lost, my brother and sister are lost. We got to tell them. What it does, it's alive and it's powerful, just like that yeast that's put into that meal. But I'll tell you something else about it. Even though it's alive, even though it's powerful, it works silently and without being noticed. Never ever has somebody said, "What is all that racket in the kitchen?" And the woman said, "Oh, that's the bread rising." No. It don't go pow pow in the kitchen. No. It's quiet. Nobody notices the bread rising. No, I don't know if anybody's ever talked about sitting and watching bread rise. Amen. It's a slow process. Right? Mark 4:26-27. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how." Puts that seed in the ground, he goes to bed, spends a couple days, and he walks out one day, and then there's this little plant come up. And he said, "How'd that happen?" I don't know. Listen, how does it work in our life where God gets things done in our life? I don't know how it happens, but it does. God works in mysterious ways. The movings of God are very quiet and gentle. God rarely ever shakes a man's life or shakes a woman's life. God works slow. His timing's a whole lot different than ours. We're a hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait kind of person. God, hey, the Bible says a day with God is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. God's not limited by our time. I mean, God ain't got a calendar and God ain't got a watch up there that he's paying attention to. God works and he moves in mysterious ways. But yet, at the same time, he works in a strong way. And he works in an irresistible way. You can't stop bread from rising. Do you know that? Once it starts, you can't stop it. Amen? No matter what you want to do, you can't make that bread stop rising. Amen. That's the way the Word of God is. Listen, you might say, "Well, they're going to get over that." Not if it's in there. Not if it's in there. You can't stop what God's doing in somebody's life. And I think the Chinese government is getting that proven to them right now. The communist Chinese government. Listen, and by the way, we were talking earlier about how leaven of sin works. But do you realize that right now, even in the middle of the worst persecution in the world over in China, that there are people in droves and droves and droves that are getting saved over in the places in the Middle East? I mean, people are dying for their faith. I mean, they're dying. They're willingly dying for their faith. In North Korea, people are dying for what they believe, their faith in God. They can't stop it. They can try. They can say, "I'll kill you." And they say, "Well, go ahead. I'll be with Jesus. All you can do is destroy this flesh. You can't destroy my soul." You see, it's strong and powerful. And it does it without work and without noise. That's the way the Spirit works in us. But he never quits. All you got to do is hide the leaven in the dough, and the world can't stop it from putting its flavor in there. The world can't stop it from putting that aroma in there. Nobody knows how it's done. Just little by little it does it until the whole thing is leavened. You see, that's how it was in the world with the church. The apostles, they went out and they preached. And they preached to a few people here and there. Just put a little handful of leaven out there and great mass of humanity. I mean, the world had so many people, and they were just a handful, 120 people versus all the people in the whole wide world. and not all those 120 went out into the whole wide world. It was just a handful. I mean, it was just Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul and Silas, and then Timothy, and a few others, and Peter went to Babylon, and it was just a few people preaching, and yet it spread all through Asia Minor, and it spread all up through Turkey and up through Greece and up through Italy and up into Spain, and from there it spread up into England and all up into your Eastern Europe, and it spread overseas and went over into North America and spread all over the place, and that's gotten over around to Australia and even in Japan and some places and some places like that. The gospel has gone into Africa. It's all over the world. How? Slowly, but steadily. That's how. And you know what? It had a powerful effect. The Bible says in Acts 17:6, it talks about what happened when they preached in a particular place. And the authorities went in to try to stop them from preaching. And the Bible says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city. That was the people whose house they were having church in. And they went and they arrested them. They brought them before the big shots of the city. And they were crying out. Here's what they were crying out. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither. They called them, they said, these people turned the world upside down. What do you mean? They preached to us that we've lost. They made us feel conviction over our sin. They just turned our world upside down. I mean, people around us that used to be faithful Jews down at the synagogue are now going to this church. I mean, families are in turmoil. Husbands turned against wives. Wives turned against husbands. Kids turned against mom and dad. Mom and dad turned against kids. Why? Because some of them have turned away from the wickedness of the world and turned to Christ, and the rest of them can't stand it. And it's caused chaos everywhere. Gospel message got in there and began to grow. And they couldn't stop it. Little by little, it makes a change. Little by little, like that leaven begins to swell that dough. And guess what? The aroma of Jesus Christ and his salvation starts showing up here, there, and yonder. And the gospel message in the church began to grow and grow and grow. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which also always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Everywhere there is a born-again believer who loves Jesus Christ, there is the aroma of the gospel message. Everywhere there's someone who loves Jesus, who's not ashamed of him, who will talk about what he's done in their life and tell others that, yes, I have believed upon Jesus Christ, and yes, I am a Christian, and you ought to get saved yourself. You need him. Listen, everywhere there's the aroma of God. Romans 15:19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He went about putting leaven in here, there, and yonder, everywhere, Paul did. All through the world. And so it was effective here. It was effective there. And not by force. They didn't have to bring in an army to conquer anything. No. Just preaching. Just teaching. Just sharing with somebody else. You need Jesus. The Spirit of God, more powerful than any army on earth, was doing a quiet work within the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And nobody could stop it. The devil himself couldn't stop it. And so that's how it grew. And it got here to us, thank God. It got here to us. And we are recipients of all of that struggle down through the ages. We are recipients of the gospel because it continued to swell and spread. And folks, what we're doing right here this morning, over the airwaves, we're spreading leaven. The leaven of the gospel is going out into people's ears. Those that have ears to hear this morning, our prayer, my prayer this morning, is that somebody, somewhere, their heart is soft enough to receive the leaven of the gospel this morning, and it begins to take hold, and it begins to grow. They get saved this morning, and their life is changed forever, and a person has dedicated themselves to living for Christ Jesus from here on out. Listen, they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. They can't help it. They've been changed. So like I said, that's how it worked in the world, but it works the same way in the heart of a person. When the gospel comes in, it works a change. It works a change in us. It doesn't change what we are, because, I mean, listen, like I sang this morning, man you see before you may look a lot the same. Still got the same old clothes, still got the same old name, and I'm still walking around in this same old lump of flesh, and I can tell you right now, it's still just as nasty as it ever was. Listen, if I don't wash it for 2 or 3 days, it'll stink to high heaven. I'm telling you, I'm still walking around in this old feeble body, but I'm not the same on the inside. God has worked a change in me. Listen, I'm the same old lump of dough, but the quality of this lump of dough has changed. Listen, I'm different than I used to be. I'm not the same, and I don't feel the same way that I used to feel about everything. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." See, when I was young and I was walking around in the flesh, I didn't care about anything but what I wanted to do. What I wanted to do, what I wanted to see, what I wanted to think about, what I wanted to talk about, and I didn't care about anything else. But you know what? Once I got saved and once the gospel began to work in me, listen, it made changes in me. And so the things that I cared about changed. And now I want people to be saved. Now I want to see people's lives changed. Now it matters to me that I don't fill my life with filth. It matters to me that I don't communicate filth to somebody else. It matters to me that I communicate to them that they need God. It matters to me that believers know that they ought to worship God and they ought to yield themselves to God and they ought to serve God and they ought to tell others about Christ. It matters. You get further on and the gospel begins to grow and you begin to be filled with the presence and the aroma of God, and you know, hey, listen, there's more to this life than just getting up and punching a clock, making a paycheck, and laying down, going to bed after you eat supper. There's more to it than just that. There's people around us that are going to die and go into a hell that will burn forever. And God gave us the leaven to take to turn them into something else. I said the gospel, the leaven of the gospel, it makes a change in us. It makes us care about the things of God. But it works a total change in us. It spreads itself all into us and into our abilities. It awakens talents in us that we didn't even know we had. It makes us see things different. It makes us hear things different. It makes us think differently. It changes us. It alters the way we do things and the way we go about things. Romans 6:13, the Bible tells us, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So no more am I to take my hands and go do wicked things. No more am I to have my feet take me to go do wicked things. No longer is my mind to be filled with wicked things, my eyes to be looking at wicked things, my ears to be listening to wicked things, my mouth to be speaking wicked things. God's power should be controlling all of those things about me. That's what the gospel's trying to do in you and me. And this change, it makes us hunger for God's word. It makes us, let me put it to you like this. When you take that leaven and you put it in that meal and it begins to swell, after it swells to a certain point, what do you do with it? Tell me what you do with it. What do you do with that lump when it swells up? What do you do with it?
You divide it.
You divide it, what are you going to do with it then?
Put it in a pan.
Put it in a pan. That's what I'm looking for. And that dough is going to do what to that pan? It's going to conform to the shape of that pan. That's what it's going to do. It's going to conform itself to the shape of that pan. Can I tell you what pan we're going to conform to? It's right in here. Amen? Turn to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28-29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, God knew those who'd be saved before He ever made this world. God, nothing snuck up on God. God didn't go, oh, somebody else got saved. God knows who's going to be saved and who's not. He didn't choose them to be saved or not. But I can tell you this, He knew ahead of time who was going to be saved. And because He knew ahead of time who was going to be saved, He has a plan for those who will be saved. And the Bible says they are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. Listen to this. He also did predestinate, that means He planned ahead, for them to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed to the image of His Son. What's the pan look like? Jesus. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And what does that mean? That means we take that leaven that got us there and we take it over to somebody else's meal. Firstborn among many brethren, we put our leaven in somebody else's meal. And guess what? Then they swell and then they fit into that pan and they're conformed to that pan. They take a little of their leaven, they put it in somebody else's meal, and it swells and fills that pan and it's just on and on and on. And what happens? Suddenly, man, the aroma of God is spreading around. It's a lot of people. That's how it happens. That, listen, you say, well, where's it at? Well, we're living in an apostate time right now. We're living in a time when people have turned away from God. You look around, there ain't too many people wanting to say a whole lot about God anymore. There ain't a whole lot of people wanting to do anything for God anymore. Listen, we're living in a day of a great falling away, and I don't know that we'll ever see revival again. I don't know. If God wills, we will. If He doesn't, we won't. But I know this. I know that the gospel is still the gospel. The power of God is still the power of God. And God will do what God wants to do when God wants to do it. Ain't nothing the devil can do hinder what God's plan is. But listen to me now. Again, we're delivered to be compressed into that mold. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, the gospel, and were changed. We're changed into the image of Christ little by little as that gospel grows in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's like looking in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. When we open this word and we read His word, we see the Lord Jesus upon the pages. We behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed into that same image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Just like you take a piece of silly putty when you was a kid and put it down on the peanuts funny paper and mash it down and hold it down and then peel it back. And what you got on the silly putty? You got the impression of the peanuts comic strip. Listen, when God presses us like that dough down into the mold, which is Jesus Christ, we will bear His image to the world. Amen? God is going to put the image of His Son. And so we're conformed to the image of His Son so that others see what? Christ in us. That's what they smell. God's here. God lives in this life. That's what people need to see in us. That's what people need to observe in us. Kingdom of Heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. See, God's still working. You may say, well, I hadn't seen Him working lately. Well, He's still working. God didn't quit. Amen? What is that verse? I'm trying to think where it's at. It slipped my mind this morning about He which hath begun a good work in you. What does it say? Somebody help me. I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of why I'm drawing a blank. I know the verse of Scripture. He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day for the Lord Jesus. He's not going to stop until Christ comes back for you. That yeast of the gospel, that leaven is continuing to work. You're continuing to grow in grace. Because the gospel, listen, the gospel has the nature of God in it. The Holy Spirit of God. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit, God's very Spirit, God Himself, comes to live in you. And He does the work of God in you. And that's where it comes from. It comes from that. It comes from you reading the Word of God. In the kingdom of God grows in us as we turn to it. Listen here. It won't happen. It will not happen with a closed Bible sitting on a shelf. You can take that ball of dough and you can throw it against the cabinet door as hard as you want to, but it ain't going to land in a pan until you take the pan out and put it in there. Okay? And you trying to get God to work in your life and your Bible sitting there on the shelf doing nothing, you might as well be throwing dough against the cabinet door. Listen, you need to get next to Jesus. You need to spend time with Him. You need to talk to Him and let Him talk to you. You don't need to just wait on me to read it to you. You need to spend time with God. So the gospel, it has the nature of God. It has the nature of Christ. It has free grace. It tells of the world to come. And when we read about these things, it causes delight and joy in our soul. It causes us to rejoice as to what we have in Christ. And it's given to us gradually. I've heard preachers say, bless God, I got done to the altar, I got all of it. No, you didn't. No more than a baby knows how to do algebra when he comes out of the womb. It's growth. You've got to grow in grace. Yeah, you got all the salvation, but you didn't get all there is of God right there at the altar. You didn't get the understanding, the knowledge of God right down there at the altar. No, you got to grow in that knowledge. But that's okay, because our life is hid with God in Christ. And He's doing that work again. He's doing it in us quietly. He's doing it in us gradually. But He's doing it in us effectively. That grace will never be taken away from us. And when the dough is leavened, what do we do with it then? We take it to the oven. We take it to the oven. And that oven may be trials and afflictions, but you know what? God takes us through those trials and afflictions. Understand something. There's a verse over it. I'm trying to remember where it is. I won't say it's in. I've been thinking about it, and I hadn't looked it up. I believe it's in 2 Peter, where it talks, or maybe it ain't 2 Peter. But it talks about when you've suffered a while. I'm having a hard time today remembering where these verses are. I guess I'm getting old. But no, it's talking about when after you've suffered a while, strengthen, establish, settle you. Yeah, you know, we're going to go. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You don't get saved to avoid all troubles. Okay? We're going to go through troubles, but we have God to get us through those troubles. You see, God fills our life, and then we go through the oven of affliction. We go through the oven of trials. But what does it do? It creates something in us that other people look at after it comes out, and they go, wow, look what example God has set before me. Look what God has shown me what that can turn into. Amen? What does God do? God pulls that bread from the oven and He says, look at this. Smell what my power has done in this wad of flour that was there before on the counter. Look what I have turned this life into. Not look what they have become, but look what I have done in this life. Folks, you can look, you can think back through relatives who've known God, who've gone through things, and they kept trusting God, and they kept praising God through it. They kept giving God glory no matter what they went through. They gave God the glory and gave him the praise, and God sustained them and God carried them through. And that's the fresh bread of God from the oven, folks. That's the aroma that makes us go, wow, you know, there's something to this Christian life. That's real. And then we're fit to be bread for our master's table. He says, like a woman hiding some leaven in some meal. And it did its work until everything was full of leaven and ready to be baked. If God is in your life today, he's trying to bring that about in you. And I guess the final statement of this message is this. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Look at your life. Is God working in you? Can you look back and see where God has done something in you? Can you look and see where God has worked in your life at all? God's not working in the life of those who won't hear him. But if you've heard him, if you've come to him, if you've come to him as a sinner and come to him for forgiveness, and God has forgiven you and he's washed your sins as white as snow in the blood of his only begotten son, and you know that he died for you, was buried and rose from the grave, and you're saved, then don't sit there on the counter of this world and just be a blob. Listen, let God work in you. Let God turn you into something. Let God, don't resist God. Don't resist God. Let God work. Get to know him. Get to know Jesus. He's your friend. He's your brother. He's your Savior. He's your master. Get to know him. I urge you. I plead with you. Get to know him. You will not ever regret getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be a friend when nobody else will be a friend. He will lift you up when everybody else is putting you down. He'll be your help when everybody else forsakes you. Don't miss out on what Christ can do in your life. Let God work in you. And you know what? Along the way, take that leaven that's working in you and put it in somebody else. Put it everywhere. You can't get rid of it, too much of it. You know, I used to read about back in the Wild West, gold miners and all them men who travel on horseback. A lot of times they carry a little bread starter around their neck, a little bag of bread starter, a little bag of leaven. So when they had a chance to eat some bread, I mean, they had something to start it with. They got their hands on some meal. They could make their own bread. They carried it with them. That's the way we're to do. We carry that gospel message with us. And every chance we have an opportunity to make some bread, we ought to do it. Every chance we get to sow that yeast in the life of somebody else, do it. And when we get to the end, you know what? We'll get to God's bakery up there in heaven. We'll get to see all those loaves. They're a result of what we had. We're in an awesome business with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make the most of it. That's why Christ was sharing this. He was sharing it with those who were there to hear so that they could go out from there and do the work of God. And those that did saw results. The whole New Testament is a testament to what that leaven can do. The tales of the Apostle Paul and his three missionary journeys are a testament to what that leaven of the gospel can do. It turned the world upside down. It made the devil mad as a hornet. I mean, it brought people to Christ. It changed lives. It changed empires. It changed the world. And it's still doing it. That's powerful. That's the most powerful thing anybody's ever been a part of. Realize you're a part of that if you're a Christian. Let's take part in it, and let's be what God wants us to be. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the message this morning. And I pray, Lord, the message would do some good in our hearts, Lord, that we'd draw nearer to thee. Lord, that we'd not waste our time. Lord, that we would be mindful that we are just as important in your kingdom as David, as Noah, as Moses, as any other child of God. And Lord, we have our own little world here, our own little corner of it, our own little spot we're to do something with. Father, please, use us. Lord, make us mindful to be used of you. Make us think about it, Lord, when we have the opportunity to be a blessing or a help to someone else for Christ's sake. Lord, may we take that opportunity and do something with it and not waste that opportunity. Lord, we'll never get them back if we waste them. Oh, Lord God, please. I pray for the sinner out there nearest hell. Lord God, I pray this moment, right now, the Holy Ghost of God bring conviction in their life over their sin. Lord, that they realize they have sinned against you, Father. They have only sinned against you. And they've come short. As the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, make them realize that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God, salvation through Christ, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, make them realize that, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, may they come to him this morning. May they throw themselves on his mercy and come to him like the publican did, who beat upon his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, Lord, if they'll come to you this morning like that, you'll forgive them and cleanse them. The Word of God says so. And, Lord, you'll plant that leaven of the gospel in them, and they begin to grow for you. Father, I just thank you this morning for the message, and I ask you to bless us now as we go about the rest of our day. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's heard the message, Lord, that they would be mindful of the message all through the week and that they examine themselves, whether they be in the faith. Father, I pray for the ones who this morning just gotten saved. Pray, Lord God, that they continue on with us and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be with each one here under the sound of my voice. Lord, may when we leave here today, we not forget what we've heard. Lord, that you intend for this gospel to grow and grow, the message to grow, and Lord, for it to spread all over this world, starting with us. Lord, I thank you now, and I ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.